The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into Bell to Bell Radio. I am David Sears right here with your latest wrestling information as we get ready to recap the week that was in wrestling. The biggest news of the week is that WrestleMania 43 in 2027 is headed to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. It was made official in a press conference on Friday hosted by Joe Tessitore with multiple WWE superstars and Triple H driving the press conference. Per Triple H, His Excellency Turki Al-Sheikh and WWE President Nick Khan put together a deal that is said to be a mind-blowing amount of money per Pro Wrestling Insider. Some reports say that the WWE is getting $100 million for the 2026 Royal Rumble and $250 million for the WrestleMania, though no official numbers have been confirmed. Dave Meltzer said the WWE originally wanted to do Mania there in 2028, but Al-Sheikh wanted to do it in 2027 instead because that's the 300th anniversary of Saudi Arabia's founding. Per Fightful Select, a WWE higher-up said no talks have taken place when it comes to booking specific talents for the show, and any names brought up are just hypothetical at this point. When WWE first started their partnership with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the Saudis allegedly wanted WWE superstar Yokozuna and Ultimate Warrior to be in the show, not knowing that both stars are past. So rumors are flying that Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Undertaker Kane, Goldberg, and more big names from the Attitude Era will be involved to appease the Saudis, but this is all speculation at this point. People in the WWE say they expect a full WrestleMania week in Saudi Arabia, including Raw, SmackDown, and the Hall of Fame ceremony to be in Riyadh, though there is nothing known about what the plans for NXT are for that week. TC of WrestleVote says WWE established a permanent office in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia over the last week, so we will see where that goes. In other money news, TKO Chief Operating Officer Mark Shapiro spoke at the annual Goldman Sachs Communacopia and Technology Conference on September 10th and had bad news for WWE fans feeling the pain for buying tickets and merchandise. Shapiro said, quote, WWE is not where the UFC is yet on ticket yield. We have our work to do there. We know we have a lot of room there because Vince McMahon was primarily pricing tickets for families and wasn't totally focusing on maxing the opportunity there. Now that we've seen what we can do with the UFC, we're replicating that in terms of ticket yield and holding back in advance sales when it comes to on location on the WWE side, and it's working out really well, end quote. Shapiro also talked about the need for cities to start bidding against each other, not only for premium live events, but also for Raws, SmackDowns, and NXT shows. WWE's ownership, TKO, is sadly going the way of most major sporting events and pricing out the common man. On the latest episode of Eric Bischoff's 83 Weeks, the legend expressed his concern about the long-term impact of pricing out families. Bischoff said that while the short-term profits will be good, the damage of not getting families to experience it live and become repeat customers will be problematic, seeing that family repeat customers are vital to carrying on the business. I agree 100% with this. I have paid big money for WrestleMania tickets. We spent, my wife and I spent $700 on Mania tickets, and then we spent about $500 on the Mania or on the Raw after Mania tickets when we went to Mania in Orlando for WrestleMania 33. We were not able to go to the most recent Raw here in Birmingham because the cheapest tickets, single tickets we could find, were $100 per seat. And that's just not the type of money that we can throw around right now. And unfortunately, a lot of families are like that. They're also starting to cut down on the number of promotional tickets they're giving away. They're cutting down on comps for friends and families of wrestlers. I mean, the TKO is going very hard on focusing on the bottom line. And it is just despicable to me that they would do that. I know that's ultimately what some people complain about. Capitalism and greed ultimately takes over, and there's never such thing as enough for a corporation. But you have to wonder, will this hurt the long-term business of people going to shows. Well, you see half-empty arenas because the people just can't afford to go there. I mean, it is ridiculous to me that you have to shell out $100 for upper rafter seats in an arena just to see a Raw or SmackDown. I have no idea how much a house show for NXT would cost doing the grapefruit circuit, as they like to say. I mean, this is crazy to me. It's a shame. It's greedy. Despite all the evil things Vince has done, Vince keeping the ticket prices down to reach the common fans was a very smooth and educated, well-thought-out move by Vince. And it is just problematic to me. And AEW is not much better. AEW is charging exorbitant amounts of monies. When we went to a house show to get floor seats, Lila and I spent $300 for floor seats for a house show. So it's just, they're pricing out the common fans. We're seeing this all over sports. It's getting more and more expensive for the average person to go to a game. And it's just cheaper to watch it at home. Well, it was. I mean, now we're paying for all the different services now to watch the various wrestling programs on ESPN's app, and now Peacock for NXT pay-per-views and Saturday Night Main Events, Netflix for Raw. Then you have to pay a cable TV subscription for SmackDown, and you can get a digital satellite or use the CW app to watch NXT. And TNA and MLW are starting to stream all their shows on live on YouTube, which I think is a very smart move by them to build an audience. But it's just getting hard to be a wrestling fan and afford everything right now. And merchandise is up. I was wanting to get the new CM Punk pink t-shirt. It's $35. I remember when a base t-shirt for the WWE was $20. That's the same fabric. It's going to wear out even quicker than it used to be. And now we're paying $35 for what we used to pay $24. It's ridiculous. But as long as there are fans that pay it, people will continue to buy it, and they'll keep pricing it until they eventually hit the point where they can't buy it anymore. But it's frustrating to me. In other news, Andrade has been released from the WWE. Fightful Select Sean Ross Sapp notes that Andrade was not listed on the internal injury report for August. There are reports he went to South America. His profile has moved to the WWE alumni section of the website. John Alba of SIs.com, the takedown, says his sources say Andrade was effectively released by the WWE. He didn't request his release. It was not a mutual decision. He's not been on TV in a month. There are rumors that that Alba said that Andrade incurred at least one wellness policy violation during his recent run with the company. There are a lot of speculations that he turned down the opportunity to work at AAA. They didn't want him to go there. He wanted to go there. The WWE and TKO wanted him to go there, and Andrade said no. Now, we are seeing reports that rumor is false, that he was never asked to work in AAA. But, man, if this is a wellness violation, this will be the first one in a while. We do know he was reportedly being suspended without pay, which is what happens with wellness violations. Big plans were ahead for Andrade and Phoenix as a tag team, according to multiple sources. Phoenix, though, is now getting a singles push, which we'll talk about later with his U.S. Open title match against Sami Zayn. Will Andrade go back to CMLL or AEW, or will he try to just wrestle the indies for a while? We'll see what happens. But it's a shame that his second run with the WWE did not last as long as many had hoped, and he just had that great series of matches with Carmelo, but nothing really much after that. News report in that John Cena's last match will be on Saturday night's main event on December 13th from Washington, D.C.'s Capital One Arena. WWE asked Boston for a $7 million fee, similar to what New Jersey paid for two nights of SummerSlam, per the Wrestling Observer. The city of Boston didn't believe that less than 2 weeks before Christmas that such a show in the arena would generate anywhere near the level of tourism to justify that cost. So the WWE said, okay. And then they shopped around other bids before choosing DC. Remember, John Cena is from Massachusetts, so he was supposed to go have his last match in front of Boston, his home, well, almost his hometown. I think he's from West Newbury. So that's just a shame. Again, they're getting greedy. It's going to come back to bite them in the ass. Per Fightful Select, Athena is getting some time off after hitting the 1,000-day milestone as ROH Women's World Champion. She's supposed to be out of the ring for 5 to 6 weeks, but will be back. She's just getting some rest because she's been going at it for 3 years. Triple H appeared on the Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco podcast to say that WWE is building a bigger and better performance center in Orlando. There were rumors earlier this year that the Performance Center would move to TKO's home base in Vegas at the UFC Apex facility. No other details were provided, but it doesn't seem like Triple H would say something like that without a reason behind it. So I'm glad the Performance Center and the Capital One Wrestling Arena, or the Capital Wrestling Center, is still staying in Orlando. That's a cool site for the people to work there. All right, let's get to some TV results for the week. Monday Night Raw was at the Five Serve Forum on Monday, September 8th in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We opened with the recap of SmackDown and the return of AJ Lee. We get Jey Uso and Big Jim. Jimmy Uso opening the show. They cut a promo on the Brawnies saying they want to take them on, and Bronson and Braun come out. They end up getting a match made for WrestlePalooza between the two teams. As the Brawns get ready to approach the ring and brawl, LA Knight comes out of nowhere and just attacks the Brawns. The Usos stereo dive for the save with the good guy standing tall in the ring. Bronson Reed gets in the ring, and then LA Knight accidentally shoves Bronson Reed into Jay, and then the villains bail, and then Jay and LA argue. Backstage, after commercial, we get a promo where LA Knight says he wants any Braun tonight. LeBron James, Bronny Jr., Charles Bronson, he wants a Braun. And Pierce makes a match for later tonight, LA Knight with versus Bronson Reed. First match of the night is Grande Americano versus AJ Styles. Grande cost AJ the Intercontinental Championship last week. AJ wants his revenge. A second Americano shows up during the match that almost makes AJ lose, but Dragon Lee fights him off, and AJ is able to hit the Styles Clash for the pinfall victory. Backstage, we get Io Sky talking to Adam Pearce. Nikki Bella interrupts. Stephanie Vaquer is out for the contract signing, but she'll be back for the title match with Io at WrestlePalooza. The Kabuki Warriors interrupt Bella, and Bella isn't happy. Asuka versus Nikki is set for later tonight, and Io just shakes her head. Then we get Lyra Valkyria versus Raquel Rodriguez. It was a really good match, and Raquel Rodriguez had Roxanne Perez in her corner. Roxanne does some shenanigans, gets involved in the match, and she gets taken out, which leads to an opening for Raquel hitting a Tejana bomb on Valkyria for the win. What happened with Raquel Rodriguez, why she's wrestling so much better, is I can't remember which podcast she was on, but she talked about how Kevin Nash was advising her to start wrestling like a big lady, not like fat lady, but like a big person, wrestle big. And she's taking it to heart, and she's just going out there wrestling like the monster she is. And I think that's important, to believe you're a monster and wrestle like a monster. I think she's going to get a world title reign soon. Maybe when Liv returns and they'll do that feud. But that lady's Raquel Rodriguez is awesome. I loved her back in NXT. I'm glad she's doing so well. I'm glad she's got her autoimmune condition in control, and I'm really hoping we see big things for her in the future. Next up, Penta and the War Raiders are talking backstage. Penta leaves to talk to Pierce, and he says he wants a shot at the Intercontinental title. Rusev walks in and says he wants a shot at the IC title. Penta gets in Rusev's face, and Pierce makes a match for later tonight. This is really cool to me, what we have next. Backstage starts out with AJ Styles talking to Dragon Lee with Jimmy Uso coming by, and then he says he's trying to find Jay. As he walks by them, he sees Jay trying to leave the arena. Jimmy tells Jay that they need to be there for LA Knight. Jay tells Jimmy he's leaving and he isn't happy with Knight. This needs to be about them, not about anybody else. Jimmy says Jay's starting to sound like Roman. Jay tells Jimmy that sounding like himself isn't working, and he leaves. You know, if this Bloodline storyline comes full circle to make Jay the next tribal chief when Roman retires, I will say this is some of the best long-term storytelling the WWE has done in a long time. Jay ultimately becoming the tribal chief and the most feared man in the WWE and a multi-time world champion. You know, I'm down for that. I've liked the Usos. It's just an amazing evolution of his character, and I think that would be some really cool storytelling to see. We'll see where it goes, especially if it leads to Jay versus Sammy for a world title at Mania. That would be some great long-term storytelling, especially if Kevin Owens is out for a while and not able to wrestle, because I think Sammy getting the title off KO would be even better. We get a Bayley vignette next, where the voices tell her to try and make things right with Lyra Valkyria after hurting her and costing her the Intercontinental Championship. Bayley says she'll make it right and fights off the voices. Penta vs. Rusev is next, and it was I think they're building to something bigger, because the match really didn't seem like it had enough time. The New Day interfered with Big G Grayson Waller. They cost Penta the match. You know, I'm glad New Day's doing something, but we need to wrap up this feud with Penta and the New Day. Move on. Both guys need to move on for something else. Side note, Xavier Woods did have a melanoma removed from his head. He put some pretty gruesome pictures out there on social media, if you want to look. That's why he's been written off. So they're saying kayfabe that Penta injured him and hurt his head, but that's the real reason why X hasn't been wrestling. But he's still showing up and doing his best to help with the gimmicks. We get a recap of Cena versus Sane on SmackDown and a tease of Brock's appearance on SmackDown this Friday. Then Jimmy Uso talks to LA Knight, and Knight tells Jimmy to stay out of it because the Usos keep costing him, and if Jimmy really wants to help him tonight, don't help him. Asuka versus Nikki Bella is next. Asuka, I feel bad for Asuka. Nikki Bella is a diva-era wrestler. She is not able to hold her own with the women today. Asuka really had to work hard to carry that match. Asuka eventually wins, but, you know, let's keep Nikki Bella out of the Io Sky Kabuki Warriors story. That's me. I know it's not going to happen, because later in the night, the Kabuki Warriors start trash-talking Nikki in the back. Rhea Ripley comes up, asks if there's a problem. Asuka storms off and yells for Kairi. So maybe if Nikki can get carried by Rhea in some matches, that'll be good. Also backstage, we're with the Judgment Day. They're happy with Raquel's win and are ready for Roxanne Perez to do it next week. Dirty Dom comes in and says he's been getting ready for his AAA mega title shot on Friday. The team thinks that Grande Americana is only helping Dom become champion because he wants something. Mysterio says that he wouldn't have needed Americano's help last week if Finn hadn't been banned from ringside. Finn really didn't do much to get banned from ringside. Dominic then storms off, and Roxanne Perez goes off to talk to him. Main event is LA Knight versus Bronson Reed. Bron Breakker is with Bronson Reed, and LA Knight is solo. Reed and Breakker use the damn numbers game to their advantage for the Reed victory. Post-match beatdown's on. Jimmy Uso comes running down, but he gets taken out by the Bronze. Then Jey Uso comes down. Jey gets super speared, is about to get hit with a tsunami when LA Knight makes a save with a chair. After LA Knight ran off the heels, he turns around and gets speared by Jey. Jimmy Uso is shocked. The audience isn't sure what's going on. And that's the end of Raw. Next up is WWE NXT from the Capitol Wrestling Center in Orlando, Florida. We open the show with Javon Evans calling out Josh Briggs for a brawl. Ava says, great idea, makes the match official. Javon Evans and Josh Briggs have a good clash, the styles match, with Javon being the high flyer and Briggs being the strength method. Briggs gets the victory with a chain wrap punch to Evans that the ref doesn't see. Briggs continues to be built as a monster heel. I'm glad he's finding his footing. I'm interested to see how he's going to play, how he's going to insert himself into the Obafemi and Ricky Saints situation, as he's been talking smack to Ricky Saints. Next week on NXT Homecoming, Ava announces that Obafemi and Ricky Saints will be on the Grayson Waller effect. Trick Williams comes into Ava's office during the announcement and says he hasn't forgotten Femi and that Saints wouldn't understand the championship business. DIY comes out, cuts a promo, says they may be on SmackDown now, but NXT will always be their home. Trick Williams interrupts again and says that last week DIY got the better of him because it was a two-on-one, so now it's time for his NXT crew to even things up. And out comes Carmelo Hayes, because Melo don't miss. Shots are traded about stabbing each other's partner in the back, and a tag match is made official for next week's NXT homecoming. Women's Speed Title number one contenders tournament first round match is Lainey Reed versus Fabi Apache. Apache's been having issues with Natalya in AAA. Reed gets the win after Natalya is in the crowd and distracts Apache, allowing Reed to hit a running knee for the win. Backstage, Zarya and Sol Ruko are ready for the number one contenders match tonight when Hank and Tank come in. Each group are giving each other pep talks. It's a sweet segment between faces. Blake Monroe cuts a promo in a bathtub saying that Jordan Grace has ruined everything. The glamour can bleed, and now Grace has awakened her. Men's tag team title match is up next with Dark State versus Hank and Tank. Finish occurs when Dark State numbers game come into play, and Cutler James of Dark State says Joe Henry's name to capture him and prevent him from helping Hank and Tank. Dion Lennox gets the roll-up pin on Hank for the victory. We get a video explaining the rules of a flag match that's coming up. Then Ethan Page is backstage seeming to recruit Ridge Holland for his help. Then we get another moment where Alexis King is in the back and thinks Miles Bourne is blind now after spraying the stuff in his eyes and taking him out with the blindfold match last week. But Bourne comes in, turns off the lights before walloping Alexis with a chair. Up next is the flag match between Tavian Heights and Ethan Page. It's not for the North American Championship. Heights gets the victory after crouching Page on the top rope while Page was going for the Canadian flag. Heights grabs the American flag, waves it for the victory. Post-match, Heights drapes the Canadian flag over Page, just like Page did to him a couple weeks ago. Then Prince Pretty, Tyler Breeze's music hits, and it looks like we're getting Tyler Breeze versus Ethan Page as he goes to take a selfie with Ethan Page. Continue on Lola Vice's vignette with her family from last week, talking about getting involved in her dad's Taekwondo school. She's ready to win near her hometown at NXT No Mercy. Fatal Influences in the back say they're ready for the Triple Threat Women's Tag Team number one contender match, saying that when they win, they'll be closer to holding all the titles. Get a preview of NXT Homecoming, include a Tyler Breeze, get a North American title shot. Then the main event is Zarya and Sol Ruko versus Fatal Influence, represented by Fallon Henley and Jasmine Nix, versus The Culling, represented by Izzy Dame and Tatum Paxley. It's an elimination match. So the first elimination comes when Sol Ruko accidentally hits a Soul Snatcher on Zarya, which allows Jasmine Nix to pin Zarya for the elimination as Sol gets taken out. Paxley gets slapped by JC Jane, who is not a part of the match, and a catapult sends her into a Nix kick for a two count. Damon Nix then brawl to the floor where Henley kicks Dame in the head. Paxley misses a 450 splash, but Dame hits a powerbomb on Henley for the three count. So the Culling are your number one contenders for the women's tag team title match. They will get that next week. Post-match, JC Jane's yelling at the rest of the team when cars arrive. Then we come back from commercial and Jane's still yelling, saying this loss is not on her and she doesn't need anything from the fans. She then says she's the greatest NXT women's champion of all time. And that brings out Stephanie Vaquer, the woman she wanted off of. Vaquer then lists all her success in NXT, but Jane quickly points out that there are three of Fatal Influence and only one of her. Then Tiffany Stratton's music hits. Tiffany lists off her accomplishments, and Jane says that Stephanie and Tiffany are just sounding like kids who graduate high school who come back and hang out. Stratton says she's not sure if mommy will be happy, which of course brings out Rhea bloody freaking Ripley. Rhea doesn't like JC's attitude and challenges Fatal Influence to a six-woman tag match next week. So we got NXT Homecoming Show with DIY versus Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, Tyler Breeze and Ethan Page for the NXT North American Championship, Oba Femi and Ricky Saints on the Grayson Waller Effect, and Stephanie Vaquer, Tiffany Stratton, and Rhea Ripley versus Fatal Influence. Fatal Influence still gets that tag team title shot coming up. That was NXT for this week. Up next is Dynamite. Dynamite aired September 10th. from the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's the last Dynamite in the 2300 Arena from their three-week residency there. Bryan Danielson joins commentary. Start off the night with a non-title grudge match as Josh Alexander takes on Hangman Adam Page. Page gets a win in a great match, and, you know, there's Callis family shenanigans. After the match, Hangman cuts a promo on MJF, talks about wrestling mattering because he's an All Elite Wrestling world champion. Kyle Fletcher comes out, tells Hanger he hasn't received a response to his title challenge, so Page tells him to get in the ring. Page says he'll give Fletcher a title shot if the Callis family's left out. Fletcher says he'll consider. Recap of MJF costing Mark Briscoe his match at Collision. MJF talks about getting married recently, but not going on his honeymoon until Mark Briscoe is dead. MJF says he's been married a long time, though, because he's been married to Hatred. Young Bucks are backstage. They say they're tired of the food and catering and being treated as second-class citizens. Brandon Cutler then turns on them and leaves. Mox comes in and tells them they're in the $500,000 tag match tonight with the Death Riders. Emi Sakura and Mercedes Moné versus Rio and Alex Winza are up next. Chaos in the ring as the finish comes. Rio is able to tap out Sakura with the half crab. It's just building up towards Rio versus Mercedes at All Out. Ricochet and Gates of Agony want to take out the Hurt Syndicate at All Out. That was a fun little promo. Get another little promo package for FTR versus Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. FTR and Stokely Hathaway come out. They're super aggressive towards the fans or in fans' faces. They beat up a cameraman. They say it's going to be a fight at All Out, and then security escorts them out. Shelton Benjamin comes out and accepts the challenge from Ricochet. He tells Ricochet to keep the Gates of Agony in the back, and he'll keep Bobby and MVP in the back, so they have a match. And, of course, the Gates of Agony run down to get in the ring and cause a distraction and cheap shot, allowing Ricochet for the win. That, of course, brings out Lashley and MVP, and there's just a huge brawl between everybody. Get a Hook vignette next as he's sitting around a fire in New York, and he says he understands he was replacing the ops and it's time for him to stand on his own. Don Callis and Kyle Fletcher are ready for Fletcher's title shot at All Out. Tony Storm wrestles Sky Blue next in a hardcore match that basically is an homage to all things ECW. Tony does Sandman's entrance. Finish comes with Tony hitting Storm Zero on a chair for the win. Post-match, the Triangle of Madness run into the beatdown, but Statlander and Jamie Hayter run in to make the save. But the heels take over and Tekla spears Storm. Then Tekla grabs the title and holds it up and poses with it as we go to commercial. Backstage, Willow Nightingale says she wants to punch Marina Shafir in the face. And Harley Camry comes in with the song because, you know, why not? It's fun that way. I got a preview of what's coming up on Collision, a tournament for the unified title at All Out. Features Okada versus Michael Oku, Konosuke Tatsuya versus Anthony Bowens, the Beast Mortos versus Mascara Dorada. So in order to defend his title at All Out, Okada has to win a qualifying match. Why not just make the others qualify to wrestle him? But I don't book. 10-man tag team main event has the Death Riders and the Young Bucks versus the Ops and Brodito. Winner gets $500,000. Bucks get the pin on Bandito for the win. Probably setting up a tag title match at All Out. Kind of. I was predicting that, and, you know, it kind of comes true. So, post-match, the Bucks brawl with Bandito and Brody King to the back while the Ops and Death Riders fight it out in the ring. Darby Allin runs in for the save, but a man in all black in a hoodie comes out and attacks Darby, rips off the hoodie, and it's Daniel Garcia. Garcia has joined the Death Riders. Darby Allin's laid out in the middle of the ring to end the show. People are chanting, "Why, Danny, why?" and "F you, Garcia." Mixture of both. Next up is the September 12th SmackDown from the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Vic Joseph and Booker T are on commentary. Michael Cole was off of commentary this week, just getting some relaxation. Same with Wade Barrett. He's just getting a well-earned vacation. There were rumors that they'd been fired. That is not the case at all. Barrett actually went on social media, corrected it, because he was just like, "Dude, this is stupid. I normally don't do this, but I'm getting a well-earned vacation." Opening of the show is Lesnar in the ring, but he gets interrupted by John Cena's little brother, Ron Cena. You know, I was hoping we'd go with Ron Killings being more serious, but now he's back to being R-Truth and being goofy. He gets Lesnar to break character and laugh. Ron Cena tells Brock that Super Cena is coming for Brock. Brock laughs that off. F5's R-Truth. Funny part, Brock actually split his pants in the process and points it out to the camera and says he's wearing blue underwear. And he's laughing about it. So at least he's having fun. Also, try not wearing such tight pants next time, Brock. Sammy's shown, and he says he's happy to restart the U.S. Open Challenge, and that he's glad Rey Fénix is his next challenger. Solo Sikoa cuts a promo backstage talking about losing everything and show. He's looking crazy, deranged. He says change is going to happen sooner rather than later, and he's going to get everything back. Look, if you only have one wrestling match to seek out, Sami Zayn versus Rey Fénix. It was an amazing match. Just like John Cena putting on bangers for the United States Championship, Sami Zayn put on a banger with Rey. Sami gets the win. Go watch this if you have time. Backstage, B-Fab is interrupted by Julia and Kiana James, and a match is made for later. Then the Wyatt Six do a promo where they talk about the cracks in the Street Profits. The Profits can either split up or be destroyed, so where do the Profits go from here? Next up is a non-match as Julia and B-Fab are set to go, but Julia jumps B-Fab before the bell and sends B-Fab into the barricade. B-Fab gets thrown back in the ring, and Kiana James jumps B-Fab while Julia hits the big knee on her. Mishin runs in for the save, and like I said, we don't have a match. Aleister Black says Damian Priest can either keep fighting or give up, in a little vignette behind the, or not backstage, but in a cool little vignette. Nick Aldis is backstage in his office, gets interrupted by Chelsea Green and Alba Fire, who want their tag title shot. Green thinks Charlotte Flair is being protected, and threats are made towards Nick Aldis. Aldis says he'll give them the women's next women's tag team title shot after NXT Homecoming next week. Aldis is about to leave when Miz talks to him. Aldis tells Miz that Carmelo Hayes has already talked to him about an opportunity. Miz seems happy about that. We'll see. Recap package of the history of John Cena and Brock Lesnar going all the way back to OVW through Cena's first championship win, the United States Championship win at WrestleMania 20, which also happened to be the night Brock Lesnar left the WWE for the first time. Part 2 next week. Get a bit that where Rey Mysterio is in Vegas hyping up Worlds Collide, but Dominic interrupts. Dom promises to win the mega title. Rey says that if Dom wins, he'll put the mega championship around Dom's waist. Then Finn Balor comes in and tells Dominic to prove it himself by winning alone. Dominic isn't sure about doing it that way. Backstage, Sami Zayn's in the locker room talking to Rey Fénix, but Carmelo Hayes comes in and says he's got next. Zayn tells Hayes not to miss. The Miz comes in and asks Hayes what all that was about, and Hayes says that he talked to Aldis for the opportunity. He wants the United States Championship for his title opportunity. Miz freaks out, says he was trying to guide Hayes to the tag team titles. Hayes tells Miz to trust him. Next up is the main event, and it was a pay-per-view level match where Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton tear down the house. Finish comes with Orton's knee hurting too much to hit a punt on McIntyre and the ref coming to check on Randy. McIntyre pushes Randy towards the ref, but not into the ref, allowing Drew to load up a claymore for the win. Post-match, Drew has put Randy's head next to the announcer's table and acts like he's about to do the claymore kick into the announcer's table like he did to Cody, but Cody Rhodes' music hits. Cody sprints to the ring and beats down Drew. Cody grabs a mic and tells Drew he'll see him at WrestlePalooza. So that was SmackDown, which led into WWE versus AAA Worlds Collide Las Vegas from the Cox Pavilion at the Thomas and Mack Center in Paradise, Nevada. Graves, Conan, and JBL are on commentary. Opening of the show talks about the relationship of AAA with WWE. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Undertaker here get various wrestlers arriving, dignitaries in the ring for the Mexican National Anthem. Then Lillian Garcia does the American National Anthem. Then Penta cuts a promo in Spanish, fires up the crowd, talking about the importance of Mexican wrestling in the United States. He hits the Cerros Miedo and holds up a Mexican flag. Place goes nuts. First match of the night is Laredo Kid, La Parca, Mascarita, Sagrada, and Octagon Jr. versus the LWO, Mini Abismo Negro, and Lince Dorado. Sagrada rolls up Negro for the win. It's fun. It was very exciting, very fast-paced, a lot of fun. Everyone got to shine. You get a replay of the Rey and Dom and Finbit from SmackDown. Then Natalya versus Fabi Apache are next. Winner gets a future title shot at the Women's AAA Championship. Natty rolls up Apache after Apache tried to do a sharpshooter, so Natty gets your next title shot. Now, here's something really cool. The Saudi Arabia WrestleMania announcement is shown, and you can hear booing and "you sold out" chants while it's being shown. So the crowd is not happy. Next up, we get New Day saying they're ready to win the tag team titles, but Woods was injured by Penta. He had to have surgery on his head. I told you what the really reason was. He has risked death being here. Grayson Waller will be taking his place, and Waller insists the interviewer Chewy Martinez signed the petition to ban the Canadian Destroyer. So it's Pagano and Psycho Clown versus Kofi Kingston and Grayson Waller for the AAA tag team titles. Pagano and Psycho Clown hit Stereo Canadian Destroyers, drop Waller and Kingston with La Maestra on by Clown on Waller to get the victory. Psycho and Pagano are interviewed but get attacked by the Wyatt Six. Wyatt Six then put them through tables and the crowd's going nuts for it. So the crowd actually siding with the Wyatt Six. Up next, Lola Vice and Mr. Iguana versus the Judgment Day from Triple Mania is shown. This time it's just going to be a mixed tag team match instead of a six-person mixed tag team match. Roxanne and Perez and Finn representing the Judgment Day. Demonito is involved. Yayeska is involved. Chicanery, shenanigans. Lots of fun. Vice hits a spinning back fist on Perez for the win. Get a recap of the Latin American title four-way with a package featuring El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr., Ethan Page versus JD McDonough versus Dragon Lee. The Latin American title is on the line. Ethan Page's North American Championship is not. This match was about 10 minutes long, and it was amazing how much they fit into it. Wagner Jr. gets the victory in just what it was, a fun sprint match. The main event is recapped with the history of El Hijo del Vikingo versus Dirty Dom. It's AAA Mega Title Championship match. The Judgment Day get involved. Rey Mysterio gets involved. Grande Americano gets involved. Chaos. Dirty Dom busts out his lucha mask and uses the steel piece from Grande Americano to hit Vikingo with a running headbutt. He then hits a frog splash, and your new AAA Mega Champion is Dirty Dom. Post-match, Rey comes out and hands Dominic the title. Dominic insists that Rey put it around his waist. Rey begrudgingly does. Dominic then kicks him out of the ring. Judgment Day comes in to celebrate, and so does El Grande Americano. And the Judgment Day aren't happy with that. So we'll see if there's friction going to continue to develop between the Judgment Day and El Grande Americano and Dom. But that was the show for Worlds Collide. Final show of the week, AEW Collision from the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's the last show from Philly, and we're a week from All Out, which will be Saturday the 20th. Shivani, Nigel McGuinness, and Ian Riccaboni are a team tonight. Show starts off with Ian in the ring and brings out MJF to chat. MJF just runs down how stupid the fans are, how stupid Mark Briscoe is, and brags about his recent and future successes, which is why he's okay with Briscoe making the stipulation for All Out. Out comes Mark Briscoe. Mark Briscoe chooses a hardcore match and runs off MJF after almost getting a J-driller into a bunch of thumbtacks he brought into the ring after assaulting MJF, but MJF escapes. Get a recap of Daniel Garcia joining the Death Riders. Hologram with Paragon yell about Garcia turning on his friends. Paragon's ready to give the Death Riders a beating. First match of the Unified Tournament first round is Konosuke Takeshita versus Anthony Bowens. Who do you expect to win with the biggest name in the company right now, or one of the hottest names in the company right now? Takeshita shines in the match, gets the victory. No real doubt who's going to win this one. Mascara Dorada cuts a promo backstage saying he's ready for the Beast Mortos on Dynamite. We get a video recapping Rio and Mercedes Moné. Then we get a 10-woman tag team match for $500,000. Triangle of Madness with Megan Bain and Penelope Ford versus Harley Cameron, Chris Statlander, Tay Mello, Anna Jay, and I'm sorry, Ty Mello and Anna Jay and Jamie Hayter. Tony Storm is on commentary. We get a video from earlier in the day when Cameron and company got in an argument with Hayter and Statlander not getting along despite Harley's cheerleading. Wheeler Yuta comes down to cheer for Statlander, continuing that will she, won't she with the Death Riders. Finish comes when Bane and Hayter are slugging it out when Anna Jay tags Hayter to come in and Tekla tags Bane to come in. Tekla hits a spear on Anna Jay for the win. Post-match, we continue brawling. Queen Amanada and Mina Shirakawa come out. They have a spatula and a cooler. Storm dives in the ring. Tekla tries to get another spear onto Tony Storm like she did on Dynamite, but Tony Storm's ready, counters it into a Storm Zero. The heels clear the ring, the faces stand tall. Max Caster issues another open challenge and gets Big Bill. Bill talks a lot of trash as he beats up Max, gets the pinfall with a swinging boss man slam. Post-match, Bill calls out Eddie Kingston for a match at All Out, saying he doesn't think Eddie will show up. Jerry Lynn comes out to talk to Anthony Bowens as they are backstage, but Bowens jumps Matt Caster. They brawl into the arena. Lynn comes running down to the ring to break it up, but the Swirl, a new faction of Blake Christian and Lee Johnson, come out, say Lynn is trying to be Billy Gunn 2.0 and jump him. And then Caster and Bowens fight him off, but neither Caster nor Bowens want any part of a reunion. Next up, Lexi Nair attempts to get a word in with Mystico ahead of the match with MJF on Friday at Arena Mexico for CMLL's 92nd anniversary show, with Mystico's mask on the line and the middleweight title of MJF on the line. John Cruz is with MJF, and MJF says that he'll take Mystico's mask for the good of wrestling. MJF leaves while Cruz doesn't realize it, and he starts talking smack to Mystico, who slaps Cruz to the ground, and Mystico turns and says he'll see MJF next week in his house. FTR versus the Dynamite Kid, Tommy Billington and Adam Priest. I don't understand what they're doing to FTR right now. FTR gets the win. I understand you're wanting to make Billington and Priest look good, but you're making this team that's supposed to be a veteran team that's going to end the careers of Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, and they're making them look like they're newbies who are struggling to get victories over rookies. It makes no sense. It's stupid. I don't know. We get an announcement for a four-way ladder match for the tag team titles at All Out. Various teams said they're ready to qualify for the match in the package. Okada versus Michael Oku is next. Okada gets a win, but it's a tournament because Tony Khan loves tournaments. And Okada, who doesn't get to automatically get to the finals because he's the champion, has to win a match so he can defend his unified championship. Anyway, post-match, Takeshi comes for a stare-down with Okada. Get a video package of Kyle Fletcher and Hangman Page. Main event is Daniel Garcia and Jon Moxley representing the Death Riders in a match against Paragon, represented by Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. Mox and Garcia work the leg of O'Reilly for the whole match, and Garcia puts the bad leg in the Dragon Tamer for the win. Post-match, Daddy Magic Matt Menard yells at Garcia as Mox and Shafir watch on. The Riders leave through the audience, and that's our show for Collision and our week in wrestling. I'll be back with results for Raw, NXT's Homecoming, AEW Dynamite, SmackDown, and two pay-per-views, All Out and Wrestlepalooza, all next Sunday. Until then, I'm David Sears for Bell to Bell Radio on Tony Curry Radio, saying have a nice day.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.